Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
We will introduce legislation, I, along with a lot of my colleagues, to basically get America in a position at the federal level, I think is fairly consistent with the rest of the world. All right. 15 weeks. The baby's at the 15-week period. What does that mean? Well, it means if you're going to operate on the baby, which happens, to save the child's life, to provide medical treatment, the standard practice in medicine is to provide anesthesia. Now, why would you do that? You provide anesthesia because the science tells us that the 15-week period, the nerve endings of the baby are pretty well developed in the and the child feels pain. So here's our point, that if you have to provide anesthesia to keep the baby from feeling pain to help save its life, should we as a nation be aborting babies that can feel excruciating pain from an abortion?
That's Senator Lindsey Graham speaking at a press conference this afternoon about the Protecting Pain-Capable Unborn Children from Late-Term Abortion Act. He has introduced this along with other lawmakers, and the point is pain, although the media coverage of it is largely leaving out the pain part. Some of them don't even name the bill, because to name the bill is to talk about fetal pain. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 13th of September. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, will join us to talk about the Protecting Pain-Capable Unborn Children from Late-Term Abortion Act. We'll spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Lord calling Samuel. We will continue to respond to your unanswered Bible questions with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Michael New will bring us what he has gleaned from Planned Parenthood's 2021 annual report. It's not good. Planned Parenthood is doing more abortions than ever. And then Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will round everything off. We'll talk about the Christian faith of Queen Elizabeth II. Joining us to discuss a new bill that would protect the unborn after 15 weeks, Carol Tobias. She's president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome.
Thanks, Todd.
You spoke along with Senator Graham at today's press conference. What did you have to say?
I thanked him for introducing the bill. It's a very reasonable measure. It would protect unborn children at 15 weeks. The science tells us that the babies can feel pain by that point. So why are we allowing abortionists, doctors, to kill them? And I also contrasted this bill with a bill that has been voted on in both the House and the Senate multiple times, which would create a national law of abortion for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. And I think, you know, the two bills make a pretty good contrast to show people how radical many of our candidates, and unfortunately the Democratic Party in the U.S., has become on this issue.
I've noticed that in the press coverage, the headlines generally tend to make it sound like all abortions are banned after 15 weeks. I haven't seen a headline yet that says most abortions banned after 15 weeks. What is the media leaving out of this coverage?
Unborn children would be protected from abortion after 15 weeks, which is when we can, science definitely proves that they can feel pain during an abortion. But it also would allow then exceptions in cases of life of the mother, rape and incest, or extreme physical condition circumstances. Those are very rare, but they are in the bill to, I don't know, I guess that would make it more palatable to some people. I know pro-lifers aren't going to like, you know, many of those exceptions, but it's out there that there will be some limits on abortion. But you're right, this is being called a national abortion ban, and that's the only way it's being portrayed. The intent of the bill is to protect unborn babies who have developed to the point where they can feel pain.
Why is it important for pro-lifers not to let up legislatively after the overturn of Roe v. Wade?
We protect unborn babies by making the procedure illegal. We need to do education to make abortion unthinkable. I would love if it was a state or our country where even if abortion was legal, women would say, I'm not going to do that to my baby. So we need to educate, make abortion unthinkable, but we also have to make it illegal. For many people, if it's legal, it's right. They can be pushed into doing something because the law okays it. So we need to change the law and tell doctors they can no longer kill innocent little human beings just because of their current living location.
What can you tell us about that bill in detail? Give us the straight story on what it would do and not do.
Well, this bill is actually nothing new. A bill was introduced into Congress 10 years ago. It was called the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. It would protect those babies who, in that time, could prove that they could feel pain at 20 weeks into the pregnancy. Well, over those past 10 years, science has changed, and we've seen more studies. And even scientists and researchers who would say they support abortion, they are acknowledging that we know better now with the development of the unborn child that they can feel pain earlier in the pregnancy than previously thought. So this bill is taking the 20-week pain bill and moving it up to 15 weeks to protect more babies because they have developed to that point. But again, all we are hearing in the media is federal abortion ban. And they're purposely not talking about babies who can feel pain because they do not want that aspect brought into the public debate.
So given the fact that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer certainly will not allow a floor vote on this bill, why introduce it?
It shows a great contrast between candidates, between parties. We've got the Women's Health Protection Act that has been brought up on the floor of House and the Senate, abortion for any reason, for all 9 months of pregnancy, taxpayer-funded of abortion. So this at least gets the public hopefully kind of thinking, why are some of these candidates so radical, so crazy, that they can't even support this bill, which would protect babies after 15 weeks? And hopefully it will just get people thinking, do we really want that candidate in Congress if they can't even support what looks like a reasonable, humane measure?
So what do we know about public opinion regarding what we can call here a gestational limit law?
Well, it kind of varies, really. Now, Fox News did a poll this spring on, they just asked about a 15-week ban on abortion. And 54% of the people in the poll said that they would support it. I think it was 41% that said they would oppose it. Now, this, 15 weeks is just kind of, at this point, it seems arbitrary, but at some point you have to cut off because we know they can feel pain by that time, so let's set it at 15 weeks. Some states have laws in effect that are heartbeat bills. You cannot kill an unborn child once the heartbeat can be detected. Those are also considered like six-week gestational limits. And if you describe it that way, the baby can feel pain. The baby has a heartbeat. People will think, oh, well, then we shouldn't be killing them. If you just say 15 weeks, 6 weeks, some people are kind of like, why that number? And they, without the information, the numbers are not going to be as good. But you can get about half of the country that would say protect babies after 6 weeks because they have a heartbeat. The polling kind of bounces around a little bit, but it largely depends on how the question is framed.
So how are abortion limiting laws advancing so far in the states?
Well, we're doing fairly well with laws actually that had been in effect before Roe, not in effect, but passed before Roe v. Wade. There were 18 states that had laws on the books before Roe that hadn't been changed, so they would have gone back into effect if Roe was repealed. And then we also had several states that had passed what were called trigger laws. Once Roe is overturned, then our state law is going to go into effect and we're going to protect unborn children. So we had 18 states that had one or the other or even both. But unfortunately, three of the states, North Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming, have judges that have enjoined their trigger laws. Michigan actually had a judge that said their state constitution, created 150, 200 years ago, somehow recognizes abortion. So their pre-Roe law has been struck. So we've got some battles certainly to go. Indiana has passed a law that protects most children. South Carolina and West Virginia are working on it. But quite frankly, until the election is over and new legislative sessions start in January, that's where we're going to see, I think, more of the action and see what we can do within the states.
The media is attempting to advance the narrative that the rejection of the Kansas constitutional amendment last month signals widespread support for the Democratic position on abortion. How would you respond to that?
Kansas was the first vote right after Dobbs. The entire abortion industry focused on that one state. Millions of dollars poured into the state. Kansans were told that if they vote yes, they are voting to make all abortions illegal, not just to say it's not in the Constitution and the legislature can make those decisions. They were told that women who have ectopic pregnancies or are suffering miscarriages are not going to get treated. There was actually a video circulating with a pastor saying, let's treat women with the same respect that God does, and of course, give them the choice to kill their unborn child. So people were, I think, successfully scared into thinking this was too horrible to let happen. But it was successful. So as pro-life people, we have to make sure that that's not going to happen in other states with candidates, ballot measures. We need to be out there fighting hard and educating our neighbors.
If Republicans are able to take the House and Senate in November, could bills like Graham's get passed with sufficient majorities to overcome a presidential veto?
Unfortunately, no. I know some people still think there's going to be a red wave. I'm, you know, not convinced of that. But even if Republicans have majority control in the House and the Senate, you would have to have two-thirds vote to override a presidential veto. And I don't think the red wave is going to be anywhere near that large. I mean, we're just hoping for majority control. So what that would, quite frankly, do, not necessarily be able to pass pro-life laws, but we could stop bad ones, like the Women's Health Protection Act, which would be the national law, you know, abortion on demand for all 9 months. We could stop the Democrats from court packing, which they want to do, to add more judges to the Supreme Court to overturn Dobbs and put Roe or something worse back into effect. We could stop efforts to use our tax dollars to fund abortion. So in many ways, you know, we're not going to be able to overturn a presidential veto, but having the right people in office can make a huge difference on the kind of policies that this country would or would not enact.
Just today, Vice President Kamala Harris continued to assert that the overturn of Roe robbed women of a constitutional right. How do you respond?
I don't know that we're ever going to get that straightened out. The Supreme Court made very clear in Dobbs that the Constitution has never recognized a right to abortion, and Roe was wrongly decided when it based their decision to allow abortion on the Constitution. So this country has never had a constitutional right, but we did have 50 years where it was interpreted that way. And what they're trying to do is make women think that they are second-class citizens, that the Constitution doesn't apply to them, that they aren't protected under the constitutional, you know, measures that are there. And we can fight back on that, but I think that's something we're just going to be hearing for many years, that the women lost a constitutional right.
How do you respond to many pro-lifers who have been frustrated with being on the defensive since the Dobbs ruling?
I'll admit we have been on defense in many ways. The abortion industry, their allies in the media and the Democratic Party truly believe that the American public overwhelmingly supports their view that there should be no limits on abortion. So we've been inundated with news articles and campaign ads all talking about taking away this so-called right for women. I know a lot of your listeners are frustrated. I'm certainly frustrated. But what we have to do is just fight back. And the only message they're going to get that tells them that they need to back off is if they are defeated at the ballot box. If they keep winning elections, they're going to think that's what the American public wants. So if we can start showing them that they don't have a winning message and that life wins, you know, maybe they will start rethinking their position. But at this point, we have to, like I said, we've got some states that are going to be dealing with legislation is probably starting in January. The best message we can send to anybody, the entire country, is going to just be electing pro-life candidates in November. That's the best message, to make everybody realize pro-lifers are serious and we want to protect babies and we're going to do it.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Carol, keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Pastor Tom Baker joins us on the other side of the break. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll be in 1 Samuel 3, where the Lord calls young Samuel to be a prophet. Stay tuned.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Come and hear abortion survivor Melissa Odin, Jeannie Mancini from the March for Life, and Blaze TV and radio host Steve Dace at the 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, Friday and Saturday, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Lutherans for Life National Conferences provide valuable information and encouragement to you, your congregation, and your community. The 2022 Lutherans for Life National Conference, October 21st and 22nd in Rock Island, Illinois. Learn more at lutheransforlife.org/conference.